Blog Talk Radio.
Tactical nuke incoming!
Gentlemen, welcome to another episode of the Betting Window on the Nerdport Network. I am your host, Stefan Ronnie, and with me, as always,
the Zombie Master,
as well as,
and it is I, Trips, and let them eat next time, man. Damn.
Yeah, we'll get into that. But like I say, this is your first time joining us. Welcome again to the Betting Window as we dive deep into the good, the bad, and the what the fuck was that in the wide world of sports and sports betting. This is, like I said, a sports betting podcast. Don't bet with your head, don't bet over it, and don't bet with the little head down below. Trust me on that, you'll go broke. But yes, on today's episode, we dive deep into college football and Conference USA. We talk baseball as well as the hot dog eating contest. Woo, yeah. Boy.
And this part of the show is brought to you by?
Yes. Oh, I mean, it was spicy.
The show is brought to you by the Spice Channel.
Hi, welcome to Chili's.
Hold up. Wait a minute.
Spicy content coming through.
I mean, it's enough to make you puke if you watch the hot dog eating contest.
Which I never watch that stupid fucking thing. I never watch it. I think it's the stupidest thing on the planet.
Oh, there's Dumas.
Oh, yeah, I've watched the Ocho. I mean, I have seen, Luke tower climbing and...
Listen, you don't know Dumb until you've seen someone take a power wheel and fucking ride it down a hill with a bike helmet on with about a fifth of Jack in their system.
The best thing about the hot dog eating contest is after you watch it, man, I really need to go to the gym.
I mean, every hotel room after that, every hotel room sounded like afterwards.
Well, the thing is, here's the thing. It's a hot dog eating contest. A rain delay, dude. Just take that shit inside.
Yeah, and how are you going to fit 50 to 70,000 fucking people indoors?
Besides, who cares?
There
are 50 angry super eaters that had starved themselves for 3 days.
Think about eating all that hot dogs. You don't think some gas is going to escape? Better there outside than inside. So that place will be like a powder keg.
Well, I mean, I was joking. I'm like, this is how, the 28 days later rage virus really starts. Basically, you have professional eaters, and they get angry and hungry to the point where, hey, cannibalism doesn't seem that bad.
By the way,
they have trained their bodies to ignore alerts, and their mandibles are strong as hell where they can chew through bone.
And if you also think that they starved themselves for 3 days, you are out your goddamn mind.
Well, not starve. I mean, they eat 500 to 600 calories. That's it.
No. Dude, some of these guys are Some of these guys are literally bodybuilding type diets, like 5,000 calorie diets a day.
Yeah, the problem is, though, you have to train your stomach to do all that. So, like Joey said, like, before the competition, like, he's eating, like, 500 calories a day for 3 days. So he's basically nearly starving himself or fasting for 3 days.
Even though that's, like, the, even though it didn't really help him. It helped him, but it didn't help him. He still hit
record. I knew he went. Well, first off, they were, you can tell the guys that caved and ate something and the guys that were still, like, waiting, and Joey was the only guy who was waiting. He was not looking happy the whole time.
No, because they were actually going to cancel the whole thing.
I mean, they gave him the intro, and he's up on the thing like, hurry this shit up. Come on, come on, come on. I'm hungry as fuck. Come on. And they have the one guy showing off his abs. You could tell he caved.
The dude showing off his abs is a fucking doctor.
Abs! I'm so sorry, that dude you ate right before. You know you did.
He was a cardiologist.
Yeah, he did, and he sucked, too. He was there, and he sucked. He couldn't eat shit.
I mean, think about it. How many can you do in 10 minutes?
I eat two, and I'm ready for a fucking nap.
Chris, how many can you do? How many hot dogs and buns can you put away in 10 minutes?
There was a time I could eat, like, maybe 15 the right way, like how you're supposed to eat them, not the Kobayashi crazy way that they do.
Yeah, not the dunking.
Yeah, well, the thing is, like, a lot of people don't like that. That they dunk it in hot water, and then, like, it looks like they're, like, freaking painting their lips with the damn hot dogs. It looks so fucking weird. Like, dude, no, I'm good.
No, the worst part is them dunking it, and then you see all the shit in the bottom of the cup. It's like, no, that's not a full bun, then. Half the bun's in the fucking bucket.
Yeah. See, I like how Miki Sudo does it. She just, like, dunks it, eats it, and, like, a little piece. You look at the Japanese lady over there, she's, like, painting her lips with a damn hot dog. I'm like, what the fuck?
Yeah, I mean, she could have gotten, no pun intended, she could have probably gotten on the Spice Channel with how she was eating those hot dogs.
Well, Miki Sudo eats that shit so she's like, doo-doo-doo.
Dude, she looked like the other Japanese girl looked like she was giving. She knew how to take two dicks at a time.
Yeah, the Japanese girl is like, blah, 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 blah. Dude, are you feral?
Japanese eat them sexy and eat and says no. It just looked like she was going. Blah, blah, blah.
Me eat you fast time.
Yeah, there was nothing sexy how that Japanese girl was eating. Mickey Sue. I can't wait to have a salad. You can tell she's like, ew.
Dude, the amount of salt.
Yeah.
The amount of salt that they were eating. Just think about that for a second.
Yeah.
Give or take a hot dog's got to have anywhere between God knows how many milligrams of sodium in it.
I think they said it was like some. I think when Joey broke the record, it was something like he ate like enough sodium for the 4 months.
Yeah, it's not like they have like a bunch of things. Like, it's not like they have their choice. Like, no, oh, I'm going to eat turkey dogs instead. No.
No, they're Nathan's.
Nope, lips and assholes. That's all you get.
I mean, the fact that Joey Chestnut has never lost, he's won 16 times in a row.
Yeah, but here's the thing. Do people consider him an athlete for doing that?
You know what? Before, I would say no. Until you see, go watch the 30 for 30 of Kobayashi.
Oh, I've seen it. Oh, I've seen
it. And what he's done, that is what an athlete. He's training like a real athlete.
Well, here, riddle me this. Then if you get, then do you consider professional bowlers athletes?
Yeah, because that's a game of strategy.
So,
that's
I mean,
golf. That's like golf. Golf is the same way.
Golf's walking around a place in funny pants and hitting a little white ball.
You hit a white ball. You hit a white ball that far and try to keep doing it. I am a golfer. That shit is a sport because it is all mental.
Like George Carlin said, hitting a white ball, a little white ball with a tiny stick, and then walking after it, and then hitting it again.
Yeah, the game is all in your head. So is bowling. It's all a mental game.
Yeah, pro cornhole players, I'll say no.
No, I mean, a game that you can literally have a beer and play.
So you do the same thing in bowling.
No. Professional
bowling. When I used to bowl, I used to have hot dog, hamburgers, nachos, beer.
And professional bowlers are... I would not want to be on a lane by myself with 1,000 people watching me. That is all mental.
And then the other ones are really fat guys that don't give a shit.
Bastion Booker. Or not Bastion Booker, sorry. Badland. Badland Booker. The guy's like 650 pounds and he's like known for chugging.
Let me put you this way.
Yes, the money made drinking contest. They got rid of that one.
Go ahead, John.
You talk about bowling and stuff like that. When I used to bowl competitively on leagues and stuff, when I was 18 or 19, I was still on leagues. I had a chance to bowl in the pro-am over at Carolair Lanes, which is not even called Carolair anymore. I don't know. It's just called Bowl now. But anyway, I bowled next to the likes of Wayne Webb, Johnny Petraglia, Mark Roth, Parker Bone III. These are, I mean, if you know anything about bowling in the late 90s, these were guys that were kingpins. I bowled next to Parker Bone and Johnny Petraglia, and I'm in the middle. Talking about people watching, there must have been about 1,000 people in the crowd watching this pro-am. So bowling in front of people, a lot of people, I've done it.
Do it when a TV camera's on you. It's a whole
camera's there because they filmed it for the ABC Worldwide Sports because they talked about it. That's where they had the Johnny Petraglia Open that weekend, the same weekend that they had the pro-am.
Filming it?
Yeah, and we're filming it. They showed highlights on ABC that Saturday afternoon, and I was on the TV with that. Well, they just showed my back, but I was still there.
Filming it.
ABC cameras all over the place.
Filming it and doing it live are two completely different type of mental fucking games.
But still, you don't think? Look, you know, thousands of millions of people are potentially going to see it. It's just as bad as filming it live.
Filming it live can be edited. When the cameras are rolling and you have one take, don't fuck up. Just like this, just like a podcast, don't fuck up. We have one take.
Regardless, it still was nerve-wracking for me to do that. I mean, I bowled all right. I mean, I didn't bowl any 200s or anything, but I bowled fair enough. I don't remember where I placed in the tournament, but I think there was 50 to 60 people bowling. I think I finished like in the top 20, I think, something. I don't know. This was like 1992 or 3 that I did this.
See, golfers and bowlers, us are athletes because they also have to use the mental part.
Yeah.
And the thing is, it's not like 10 minutes of fury or 5 minutes of fury. And then, you know, nobody cares. It's like, you have to bowl. I mean, if I remember, like, when I bowled, I was bowling, like, 5-6 games a day.
I've done that.
Yeah, like, in tournaments. Like,
oh, yeah, I've done it.
In the morning, and you're bowling, like, near, like, 7 p.m. if you're still women.
Let me put you this way. I bowled from the age of 12 years old till I was 25, 11 months out of the year. You realize what my right thumb looked like after I was done with that? With the amount of, like, blisters and shit on my thumb? It looked like it was caught in a bicycle chain.
Yeah. I had rosin, and then when my thumb kept getting messed up, I had a glove where, like, I think it was my ring finger and my thumb had something on it to, you know, make it not hurt as much, but my middle finger was still, you know, normal. It was like this weird glove.
But what I'm trying to say is that bowling and golf are both mental games. But when the lights are on you, when the TV cameras are on you, it's a different game than just something being recorded. Pete Webb is the great example of
Pete
that.
Pete Webber, you're talking about. Oh, that motherfucker's crazy, man. Pete Webber, that motherfucker's crazy. I don't care what you say. That motherfucker's nuts.
Yeah. Bowling and golf are also physical, too, because you could pull a hamstring, you could pull your back, you could pull a shoulder bowling. Same as golf.
Oh, I've done that. I dislocated my shoulder bowling once. I bowled. It was a charity event where they were trying to bowl, like, we're going to bowl, like, 12 straight hours for charity. By around the eighth or ninth hour, my shoulder basically popped out of the socket for a couple of seconds because my arm, it's like that old Family Guy joke where Quagmire goes, "How you doing?" And he turns around and his other arm looks like friggin' the Hulk. Well, we all know what he was doing, but that's beside the point. But it's like my shoulder, I couldn't bowl like that anymore. I'm lucky if I could bowl now.
And hello, Christian.
Nothing. I wish, like, the yoga stuff I know for my back now, I wish I knew that back then because I have back problems the whole time bowling. Like, I'd pull something, and I'd be walking, like, with this, like, no, I'm not over back certain, but I'm still bowling. Like,
but...
Competitive eating, you just go, it's a craziness.
Back to what we were talking about, the competitive eating.
Which, I go on record, I still think it's stupid as fuck.
These guys make a living doing it.
Once a fucking year.
Oh, doing it, no!
There are people
No, this is a whole year thing, dude.
All right, if it's a whole year thing, then how come we don't hear about it?
Because it's not televised. Nathan's 4th of July hot dog eating contest. Sorry, Chris. But the hot dog eating contest is the biggest one of the year. It is their WrestleMania. But when I tell you there's fucking chicken wing contest, there's other hot dogs. There's a – dude, Trenton's got a pork roll eating contest.
Dude, Rainbow was like more of a test of endurance than anything because it's 30 minutes.
Some of these guys, Joey Chestnut for sponsors as well as prize money, he makes seven figures.
There's certain people that do eating stuff. Like, did any of you ever watch Man vs. Food?
Yeah, that...
No. Hear me out.
Adam's a dick, first off. I'm just going
to say that being set aside, eating some of that shit like he had to eat like the ghost pepper chicken wings where he's got to eat them in like less than a second. He's got to if he's got any cheese, he's got to let it sit on his face. Now that is a real challenge. And to eat like a 72-ounce steak, that's the challenge.
Yeah, but that's you versus, the product, which is fine. That is a contest. But on the other hand, do it with 15 other people, and you gotta beat them. And yes, the hot dog eating contest, you're getting $40,000 for first place. obviously. That's the whole goal, is to come in first. But, I mean, there's a pork roll eating contest in Jersey. There's the Wing Bowl in Buffalo. There's the there's a fucking cheesesteak one out in Philly.
Dude, Wing Bowl's in Philly, dude.
Is it? I thought it was Buffalo.
No, Wing Bowl is in Philly.
Okay, I thought there's
wing
another Wing Bowl.
Takes place at the Wachovia Center before the Super Bowl. Well, usually. Now it's like the month after the Super Bowl. Because that was the whole thing. It was like, well, the Eagles can't go to the Super Bowl ever, so let's have the Wing Bowl the week before it.
Oh, okay.
But now they have it. But now since the Eagles are currently in the playoffs, they have it the month after the Super Bowl. It's weird.
But it's... And also now you mix out the shit with YouTube and stuff like that. YouTube, you get, these guys are making 6-7 figures just off of their videos.
I mean, pro gamers make 7 figures. I wouldn't call them athletes.
That's mental. If they're actually competing in competitions, it's all mental. It's a chess game. But that's
Call
the question.
Duty, come on.
No, I'm not even talking about Call of Duty. I'm talking about games like Street Fighter, Madden, like games like that, where it's actually a chess game.
Yeah, I mean, like fighting games, yeah. Not like Call of Duty, where
no.
You know, obviously you learn like certain things about the game and how mechanics work, and all of a sudden you can exploit it.
No. Sorry, I just puked in my mouth after looking at that for real quick. Ugh.
Yeah.
So, Christian, did you watch any of the hot dog eating contests on the 4th?
What do I look like watching other men put long objects in their mouth for a contest?
Hey, don't be sexist. They do have women doing it, too.
Okay. Nah, I'll be honest. I'll be honest with you guys. I really don't like watching those because it kind of makes me nauseous watching it. Like, I don't know. It's just always been kind of weird.
Listen, there's other ones that are worse.
Yeah, I mean, guys, somebody in my group just said Joey Chestnut must have a nice throat. I'm like, and you're a man saying that? So, nah. Like, come on, man. But, nah, I never really got into those for some reason.
I literally watch it just because of how fucking ridiculous it is.
Sure.
Well,
yeah.
I think a lot of people are turned off of it because of how the eaters eat now. Like, they don't even eat hot dogs the right way anymore. Now they eat with Kobayashi weird shit. And I think a lot of people are turned off by that.
Yeah. I don't know. Like, every time I've tried to sit down and watch it, even watching the highlights of it, you know, on SportsCenter or something, and my stomach just ends up hurting.
Dude, there's some of these. I'm literally on the website right now looking at this. Some of these are ridiculous. Like, some dude ate 8 pounds of mayonnaise in 5 minutes. Who the fuck thought that was a good idea?
A dummy?
Yeah.
No, I mean, like, you want to, like, I mean, it's like, you want to watch it, like, people eating, and you see guys that are like they're painting their lips with hot dogs. You're like, no, I'm good, bro.
Nah, and then you see them dipping the hot dogs in lemonade. Like, who wants to drink hot doggy lemonade?
No, they don't even dip the hot dogs in lemonade. They dip the buns in lemonade so it dissolves in the fucking...
It's not even lemonade. They dunk it in hot water.
Some no, some do lemonade, some, dude, there's the, one of the girls did Kool-Aid. Ah. Because all you see is her hands. Look,
she left after you said Kool-Aid.
Her hands were blood, like bright blood red.
Christian, actually, are you all right, Christian?
He's coming back.
Oh, my God. Could you just say what I think you just
said?
Yeah,
you heard me.
He said Kool-Aid, Christian. Yes, he did.
Was it at least the red kind?
Yes, it was red.
Oh, hell. Oh,
Because that means you can hide the excess bun any less.
Oh, there he goes again.
Like,
I mean,
yeah.
That's why I said, right? These people could just break bone with their damn mouths. Like, they look feral when they're eating. It looks fucking weird.
So, like, one dude did 141 pieces of sushi in 6 minutes.
Wow.
I like sushi, but not that fucking much.
Hold on, man. I'm about to go make a hot dog and go dip it in some Kool-Aid. Like, do you know how ignorant you have to be to do that? And she was black, too, wasn't she?
No, she was Asian. Ah. And he's
gone. He's gone again. There he goes again.
I mean, was it Wing Mulder? Was a guy that actually ate the wings bone at all because he's just like, I turned my mandible and all that. You just
listen, what's
down
the matter?
Oh,
you didn't like
turn
no dippy dippy with the Kool-Aid?
hold on. Christian, would it have even been better if the person was black? Nah, they would have made fun of his black ass. I think it would have been worse.
Dippy dippy in the Kool-Aid.
Oh, God.
Christian, you're lucky you weren't here last week.
Wow, what happened last week?
I don't know how the subject came up. Ronnie and Ryan were doing their comic bits where they're doing that.
I told him.
Ronnie, I can't remember what I did 15 minutes ago. So how the hell I'm gonna remember?
Let me put it to you this way. Chris brought up the Spice Channel, which is something that was in the 90s.
Chris, you need to hang up. Now.
And all of a sudden, all I know, all you hear is me go, the Spice Channel. And the next thing you hear, Ronnie made this sound of a cackle that you've never heard before.
Like, I'm literally looking at some of this stuff.
He legitimately cackled.
32 and three quarter 4 ounce egg rolls in 8 minutes. Like, the fuck?
Jesus God, man.
Dude. You would see, like, commercials for the Spice Channel, like, late night watching wrestling.
Dude, I haven't heard somebody mention the Spice Channel since 1999.
Thank you!
Well,
like,
he's
really
around then, so it makes sense.
What'd you say? What'd he say?
ECW was around then.
True, but still.
So was Sex Hotline.
So was Taxi Cab Confessionals. What's your point?
Right, so was the
that. Yeah, that's what it was. Right. It's like, we'll be right back, guys, in the spirit. I'm like, what the fuck? That man's whooping the shit out of somebody with a cane. Like, everybody, come on, show. And they're thinking like, oh, baby. I'm like, what the flying fuck?
Call Candy and see what she's doing on the other line. $8 per minute every 10 seconds for the additional minutes.
I picked the wrong night to come back on.
No, you didn't.
Yes, I did.
No, you didn't.
Because, Ronnie, you trying to imitate a seductive woman.
That wasn't him.
Hi, welcome
Ryan
to Chili's.
That was Chris.
That just really made my stomach bubble, and not in a good way.
It's real estate.
Hey, you fuck off.
Hold up.
Yeah,
wait a minute.
From the 1995. You.
That's my purse. I don't know you.
Yeah, basically, from 1995.
Isn't he just kicked him in the neck?
Chris, you need to stop talking right now.
John, I told you I'd get that soundbite in somehow.
I know you did.
Oh, God, I'm crying over
me.
It's
fucking weird.
No, you know what the sad part is? The fact that you know almost verbatim what it is means you must have spent a lot of time watching the Spice Channel.
Hey, now.
Is like,
if you know verbatim what they sounded like and what they talked about, that says a lot.
I'm broken over here.
No. That's when I was in New York.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
You're not denying it.
All right. I had to record ECW late night.
Again, he's still not denying it.
No, I had to record ECW great night at my grandfather's house.
Sure.
And
ECW is an excuse. Sure, go ahead.
Hold on. It was ECW, Smoky Mountain Wrestling, USWA, all in a late night block. And the commercials were all freaking like weird porn sex chat commercials. I mean, and I'm laughing my ass off. Be like, oh my God, we're going to break. It's like, for 1995, you can talk to Candy. Are you alone right now? I'm just like, what the fuck?
College girls you don't know, doing things on camera that we can't show you on TV. Pay $20 for the DVD.
Oh, that was
girls
gone wild.
Damn hotline, so it was commercials. And then they had the Spice Channel commercials. It's like, all this on the Spice Channel. Like, man, and like smooth jazz. I'm like, what the fuck?
I don't want to dance again.
Oh,
that's
God.
My purse! I don't know you!
And then on my old podcast, Tyler was talking about that stupid weird sex comic, whatever the hell it was.
Oh, if you
and I'm
book.
Like, what the fuck? I'm like, what is this, a Spice Channel comic book? Like the smooth jack.
All I have to say is
what
this.
What
was it like?
Motherfucker, motherfucker, motherfucker.
Nah.
I'm not going to deny seeing a damn ad and knowing what the hell Spice
I never thought I would ever say this, but I would rather see Tommy Wiseau's ass than John Cusack.
Man, Ryan picked the worst time to close, man. He'd be having so much fun with this.
Oh, cool. It came out of my ears.
Hey, rather come out of your ears than other orifices.
Oh, Jesus.
Chris, did they have any of that on the Spice Channel?
Oh, Jesus Christ. Anyway, let's get into the sports talk.
Sorry. Here's the road. And now I can't fucking tell me why he's on his ass. Like, oh, yeah. I'm like, what the fuck?
Oh, Jesus Christ. All right, moving on.
Spice Channel is some man's ass. Now we're going off the rails now.
And I've got to say, in all honesty,
you know,
it's
like
the biggest piece of dog shit that I have ever heard.
TV out the window before it kills himself, so whatever.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Stop! He's already dead.
Oh, my God.
Okay, anyway.
You guys have genes. That shit is hilarious.
Like I said, I've gotten some new sound bites for football this year, so. Oh, I can't wait.
Yeah, that shit is fucking weird.
Really? That's the least of our worries. That was weird. Anyway, moving on to the Major League Baseball. They have officially announced the brackets for the Home Run Derby.
Now, who's in it?
Oh, I will go through it right now. 1 versus 8 is Luis Roberts Jr. from the White Sox versus Adley Rutschman, the Orioles.
Yeah.
Oh, that's the catcher from Baltimore, right?
Yes.
Yeah, Adley Rutschman, Louis Robert,
They just threw out the brackets, so I'm about to go through the list.
Yeah, let
them
go through the brackets. Let them go through the brackets.
Then you have the rematch of Pete Alonso as the 2 versus J-Rod as the 7.
Colbert versus Rodriguez. Oh,
yep.
Yeah.
3, Mookie versus Vlad Jr. is the 6.
Yeah.
And then the 4-5 is Randy Arozarena versus Garcia of the Rangers.
So Ohtani's not doing it this year.
No, he actually has a fucking blister from the game last night.
Ohtani's not going to be in the All-Star game, and Ellie Dela Cruz, he actually turned it down.
There was no word on him, on Shohei not being in.
He'll probably be there. He'll probably be announced, but he probably won't play.
Well, no, he's announced as a starter right now.
Yeah, as a designated hitter.
No, as a pitcher.
I had seen him. I saw him get the top vote getters for DH.
Barney, on ESPN, they said Ellie Dela Cruz denied it.
Cruz, maybe, because, Cruz hasn't even played 50 games.
Yeah, no, but the thing is, he was invited and he denied it. He turned it down.
Yeah, because he hasn't played a full season. I mean, I can understand that.
Well, let me put it to you this way. Who's everybody's favorite to win this?
For the Home Run Derby?
Yeah.
I got to think it's Pete.
You know what? I would say Pete, too, but he's still nursing that wrist injury, so I don't know how much he's going to put 1,000% into it. Because he really can't afford to be hurt if it hurts him again.
You know what sucks? The winner of Pete and J-Rod have to go up against the winner of Mookie and Vlad.
Well, didn't Pete beat Vlad in the finals one year to win the whole thing?
Yeah, and then Vlad won the year prior and knocked out 96 home runs he has the record for the most in all overall with like 96.
I think we're going to get an AL East final. I think it's going to be Adley Rutschman versus Vlad. Can it be? Yeah, it can be.
I'm going to
Who's your Rosarena going against?
Garcia from the Rangers.
I'm going to go Vlad Jr. Didn't he win it a couple years ago or something?
3 years ago.
Did he?
I thought
he did.
Because he hit 96, and he has the record for hitting the most.
I'll tell you, my most memorable home run derby.
Hold on, Chris. Go ahead.
I remember Josh Hamilton, the year he hit, like, 70 altogether.
Yeah, Vlad,
just
like...
Just got tired.
Vlad was like, I think Vlad holds the record right now, though, at 96.
Mm-hmm.
Vlad is just a freak of nature when it comes to strength.
Yeah. All right, Chris, what's up?
Vlad gets tired, though. So, I mean, because that's how, like, that was how guys last year were really, I mean, it's not really how long, how far you hit it, it's that you hit it over. And, you know what? I'm going to go with Rosarena.
Me, I mean, the sentimental favorite to me is obviously Pete, but I don't think Pete's going to put everything he's got in it like he did in the past, because he's still nursing that wrist. He's still coming back from an injury. But I'm going to go for the kid from Baltimore, Rutschman.
I see that.
The one thing that I'm looking at is J-Rod is the home field boy.
Oh, well, of course, yeah.
He knows that field really well.
Yeah, exactly.
But you know what it is? I looked at look at his stats.
All right, I got betting lines too on this.
J-Rod is having a good year, but he's not having a destructive year like he's done in the past.
So, all right. So, go ahead, Chris. Go ahead.
Rosarena is like that Juan Soto type, where nobody had Juan Soto a couple of years ago when he won it.
Yeah. So, all right. So, Caesar Sportsbook, who I use mostly for this, has Alonso as the favorite at 3-1, then Roberts at 4, Vlad at 4.5, Garcia at 5, J-Rod at 5.5, Mookie at 6.5, Rosarena at 9, and Rushman at 12.
Well, you know what?
Depends on who the pitcher is.
Well, no, like they can pick whoever they want to have pitch for them. So, yeah, I mean, I forget who Pete had a couple years ago. He had teammates throw to him.
Yeah, now he's got his middle school travel ball coach.
Yeah, because Schwarber got fucked by the Phillies batting coach last year. That guy was throwing curveballs. I'm like, what the fuck are you doing?
All I know is there's a kid, like, if Alvarez continues to hit the way he's hitting, you might see him in the Derby next year. This kid broke the record for home runs for a Mets rookie catcher. He's got 15, I think. And he hit one in Arizona. Do you want to guess at how far?
Yeah, it was like 600 feet. I saw it.
It's 467-foot home run in Arizona, almost to dead center. That strength.
It's not how far you hit it. It's how many you hit. That's what the crazy.
Well,
are.
He's starting to heat up again. Now, if Beatty would just start heating up, we'd be even better. But he's not. He's lukewarm right now.
But, no, right now we got that. I mean, J-Rod, it wouldn't shock me if anyone out of this wins this. But right now Vegas has Pete as the favorite because he is the returning champ.
Two-time champ.
But he's still the returning champ. I mean, yeah, I could see Vlad doing it. Because, I mean, what else do they got to do? I mean, Vlad's really not going to probably be playing in the game.
Well, Pete's the lone Met representative.
How Lindor is not an all-star is beyond me.
He was voted. He was people in the New York tabloids, I call them that, the New York Post and Daily News, were saying he got screwed out of it. Fans voted you in. How can they screw you? I'm sorry. The dude's hitting. He's got 17 home runs. He's hitting .221. That doesn't scream all-star to me.
I mean, it's home run or bust now. You're not seeing people hitting .350.
Is that kid from the Marlins making? Did he make it? The one that's chasing 400. Did he make the All-Star team?
I have to see the All-Star. If he didn't, if the fans didn't vote him in, Luis Araya, if the fans didn't vote him in, you know he got in as an alternate.
Well, there's nobody else on the fucking Marlins that's an All-Star, so. No, I mean, Alcantara, that pitcher, is not exactly killing it this year.
I mean, I was happy Castellanos made it. I thought there might be another Philly, but nope.
So he's a lone Philly?
Yes, Castellanos. I thought maybe we were a real Muta would have made it, but nope.
Is Judge the only Yankee?
No, because Judge isn't playing, because Judge can't play.
Is he the only one that got in, though, that the fans voted in?
But they have to have at least one representative from every team, so I don't know who the alternate is.
All right, so here...
Do you know who it is?
No, I don't, actually.
I mean, you got to figure Judge would have been the obvious choice, but he's out, so who's the Yankee representative?
Yeah, I can look. Hold on, let me see.
So here we go. I got the starting lineups for as of right now, the fans voting in as the starters. I have the starters right now.
Only two Yankees made it this year.
Who's the other one?
Aaron Judge and Garrett Cole.
Oh, Cole made it?
Yeah.
All right. So Jonah Hem from the Rangers is the catcher, starting catcher. Yanni Diaz from the Rays is the first baseman. Marcus Semien from the Rangers is the second baseman. Josh Young from the Rangers is the third. Corey Seager, which, holy shit, can you say it's a Texas fucking bias? The entire infield except the Rays are fucking Rangers.
I've seen that before. I've seen that other teams. I mean, there was 1 year, it was all Phillies in the infield.
Corey Seager, short. Judge will not play. Yankee, Trout, Angels will not play. He's out officially 4 to 8 weeks with a broken wrist. He just had surgery on it. Rosarena is the other outfielder, and Shohei is the DH for the AL. NL catcher is Sean Murphy from the Braves. Freddie Freeman is first base. Luis Araya from the Marlins is second. Arenado from the Cardinals is third. Orlando Arcia from the Braves.
Arcia.
Acuna, no shit. There's your fucking MVP in the NL, too. It's going to be hit by a bus factor soon. From the Braves, Mookie Betts from the Dodgers. Corbin Carroll from the D-backs, yes, is your other outfield. And J.D. Martinez from the Dodgers is your DH.
Now, Ronnie, you and I talked about this. When you're done, I got to bring something up about Trout.
So replacing Judge is going to be Wander Franco.
I thought he was in the doghouse.
They sent him in as a reserve, so he's taking from Judge's spot.
Yep.
Julio Rodriguez is taking Jordan Alvarez's spot, and Kyle Tucker is taking Trout's spot.
I mean, I'm pretty sure Shohei is not going to be playing.
He might come in as a pinch hitter, but I don't think he's going to stay in the game.
Soto is an alternate. He's the lone Padre. McClanahan's not playing in the All-Star game. He's out for God knows how long. George Kirby is taking the replace of McClanahan. Kershaw will not play in the All-Star game. Shock. David Bader is taking replace of Kershaw. All right. I mean, it's the All-Star game. That's all you can really say, right?
Cool, because now it actually means something. It's like whoever wins, that league gets the...
I believe
the
they got rid of that.
No, it's still a thing, I think. I think that's still a thing.
That or they just put up big money for it.
Now, here's a question I got. Since you said it, you brought up about Trout. I want to ask Chris and Ryan, Christian and Chris. With Trout being injured yet again, does this or does this not hurt his chances for the Hall of Fame? And here's the reason I ask why. Because David Wright was on the same kind of trajectory that Trout was on until an injury forced Wright into early retirement, which pretty much killed his Hall of Fame chances. As much as I love David Wright, he's always going to be a Met, and he's always going to be number one in my heart. He's always one of my top – he's my top favorite player for the Mets. But with Trout, year in, year out, injuries. And we even said this at the beginning of the season. If Trout stays healthy, and which proves he's never done – he has not played a regular season in I don't know how many years.
Yeah, he's still a Hall of Famer because he's been dominant. Think about it. Every year that he's won MVP or he didn't win it, he always finished second in voting. You know what I'm saying? And you can't really tell. What have I always told you? You can't tell that story without mentioning him. Like, he, after Jeter retired, Mike Trout became the face of the league, right?
Oh, I'm not disagreeing with you on that part.
He's a Hall of Famer. He's first ballot to me. Yeah, I know he can't stay healthy, but he's won, what, 3 MVPs? He's been an all-star damn near every year since he's
been in the league. You know, he's always been one of the top three vote getters to win the award. I mean, yeah, I think he's.
But here's the thing. I agree with everything you said, but you look at the David Wright's career. David Wright in his early years was almost running parallel to Trout with numbers he was putting up. He's hitting for high average. I think he won. I think he did win an MVP one year. I think if memory serves correctly, he was involved in home run hitting contest. He was always a top vote getter in the All-Star team until he kept getting injured day in and day out, season in, season out, until he was forced to retire due to the spinal stenosis. I'm not saying Trout's going to retire tomorrow, but in the remote chance that Trout, like, let's say next year he gets another wrist injury and he can't hold a bat anymore and he has to retire, does that or does that not affect his Hall of Fame status?
No, because he did it all in his prime. Like, he's past his prime now. So, I mean, here, let me look. Let me look up some numbers on Mike Trout. Okay. Let me see. You know, he's got over 1,600 hits. He has over 300 home runs. He has over 200 stolen bases. He's an 11-time All-Star. He's a 3-time MVP. He's a 3-time All-MLB first team. He won the AL Rookie of the Year. He's a 9-time Silver Slugger. He's won the Hank Aaron Award twice. He's the AL RBI. He was the AL RBI leader in 2014, and he led the league in stolen bases in 2012. Nah, he's getting it.
All right, now just let me throw some numbers at you with Wright real quick. He played from started in 2004, and his career ended in 2018.
Mm-hmm.
His career numbers are as follows. He has almost 1,800 hits, almost 1,000 RBIs. A career batting average of .296. I got to pull up the rest of it.
I'm going to say this right now. He's not a Hall of Famer.
He's not.
He's got 242 home runs.
Under 300 home runs. Okay, keep going.
What else do you want to know?
He's an under 300 average. He's an under 300 home run. He's under 1,000 ribbies, and he's under 1,000 on base percentage. He's not a Hall of Famer.
And there were bigger guys, you know, playing the position.
But those stats, you can't deny those stats aren't good stats.
He's a Met Ring of Honor.
Oh, he's a Met Hall of Famer without question.
But he's
we're not even discussing that.
But he's not going to the Hall.
And the reason I'm saying is it's sad that, unfortunately, he'll never make the Hall of Fame because the trajectory he was on, if he had stayed healthy, he would have had over 300 home runs.
And,
he would have had over 2,000 hits.
And no MVPs.
Right.
He's a 7-time All-Star, 2-time Golden Glove, 2-time Silver Slugger. No MVPs.
It's still a respectable career that he should have been.
He's a Met Hall of Famer, yes, but he's not a MLB Hall of Famer. It's just the fact that, like, David Wright is a good player. Yes, he got shortened down by injury. If he kept going the way he was, could he have been a Hall of Famer? Yes. But injury cut it short. How many times have you seen someone that is an amazing player, get cut down short due to injury?
Don Mattingly. Donnie fucking baseball.
But that's exactly it. Mattingly,
Christian, now correct me if I'm wrong. Don Mattingly had beautiful stats. He had a lot of great accolades. Unfortunately, never made the Hall of Fame. Will he get it in at that with the archive things, I think that they're calling it, or Veterans Committee?
The thing that pisses me off with that is, you know, they get in guys who should have been in years ago, get in on a special ballot. Like you know, I know it's a different sport, but look at football. Drew Pearson, former Dallas Cowboys wide receiver, the original number 88. Like he should have been in years ago, and he was a senior member of the class of 2021. I'm glad they finally put him in, but still. Or, you know, I think of baseball, 2010, and I just remember this, living in Illinois, Ron Santo, you know, he died, and he was beloved out there.
Oh, he was a club icon.
Yeah, but, you know, after he dies, they put him in. Like, they announced it a couple days after he dies, and I remember
posthumously,
that.
Posthumously, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, even after Kobe Bryant was killed, the Hall of Fame said, yeah, Kobe's getting in. Even if Kobe didn't die, we knew Kobe Bryant was getting in.
Kobe was going in regardless.
Yeah, Kobe was going in regardless. But, you know, no, I just hate when the Hall does that. Like, if guys deserve to be in, put them in. While they're still here.
Yeah. You're not wrong.
Yeah. No. I got a guy for you.
Okay.
Brian Howard.
Yes. You know what?
Brian Howard.
A,
he was killing it until he fucked his Achilles up.
That is a great example.
Yeah, he would get my votes to get in.
I mean, because Ryan Howard, what was it? When the Phillies won the World Series, he was killing it. Then they lost that year. It was against the Cardinals when he fucked his Achilles up. After that, he was done. I mean, he came back, but no, he never was as good as he was.
He wasn't the same player. That is a great example.
Look at you sounding like you know shit.
Yeah. Another guy I'm pretty sure got in was Frank Thomas, but he wouldn't
have
hurt.
Frank Thomas is definitely. Frank Thomas went in for
balance.
Yeah.
Frank Thomas went in the same year as Greg Maddux.
Yeah, Frank Thomas, like, he was on White Sox teams that had nothing.
I'll say this. Another player that's going to be like that is going to be someone like DeGrom.
Yeah, I see that.
But you see, DeGrom, I think, has too many X's against him. Because
a guy that could be a bona fide first ballot Hall of Famer that's going to not get in due to injury.
That would be DeGrom.
Yeah, that's exactly what's going to happen.
Yeah, will
he
make it
as
a veteran committee? Probably.
I mean,
what about Clayton Kershaw?
Oh, Clayton's going in. Clayton,
yeah,
I don't know if he's the first ballot, but he'll definitely make it.
Kershaw looks
what
like
about,
he's going to win
about
the Cy Young.
What about Justin Verlander, first ballot?
Yeah.
First ballot, but he'll go in.
Nah, I think Clayton or Justin, I think they're both first ballot guy. Both.
All right, since you're saying, what about Max?
I think he gets in first ballot. I could also see DeGrom, because wasn't DeGrom like a Cy Young Award winner at multiple times?
Two-time Cy Young Award winner.
But the last person to ever do what Verlander did was Verlander. No one's done that.
No one's ever won a Cy Young and an MVP in the same season. I remember that year.
Yeah. The only one that's going to come close is possibly Ohtani.
Yeah.
But Ohtani is both sides of the plate. So is that kind of cheating?
All right. Here's a question now. And I want to just legit answer. Well, I know Ichiro is going to be a Hall of Famer.
Oh, yeah.
But here's the thing. They combined his Japanese stats with his American stats. That's how he got to have so many hits.
He would still get in just strictly under his American stats.
Yeah, he would.
I mean, I'm not denying it. Ichiro was a fucking phenomenal player. Absolutely, hands down. But do you think they should combine his Japanese and American stats together?
I mean, you can split them.
And you know what? I'll say this. I could see Ichiro getting a unanimous vote.
I don't know about a unanimous vote, but it'll be in 98-99, but I don't know if it'll be unanimous.
Yeah, he might come close to tying Derek.
Yeah, but I mean, I don't know of any – I think Mariano's the only guy that was unanimous, right?
Yeah, because the only reason that Derek didn't get a unanimous... Because
it was a writer out of Boston.
Yep.
We all know that. We've gone on a nauseam with that.
And you know what? I'll still say it, and I'll say it from years and years on out. Derek Jeter deserved it unanimously.
Oh, totally.
I just want to know who that guy was.
Boston.
There's a Boston writer, but we'll never know his name.
Dude, he even trolled them when he was giving a speech, remember?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
He was like, I want to thank the Hall of Fame committee, well, all but one of you.
Yeah.
Like I said, it's like Big Poppy giving Derek a Boston number two jersey. Where then you know Jeter's going to get him back by giving him a Big Poppy jersey as a Yankee jersey.
Or, you remember A-Rod got him a couple years ago when Poppy, like, was laying down or he was falling asleep on a recliner. A-Rod put a Yankees Letterman's jacket around him.
Jeter, I love Jeter's reaction, though, after that. He goes, just, guys, nice being with you. Goodbye. Nice being on television.
He was like, when they asked him, how do you feel sitting next to Big Poppy? He goes, it's one of the three worst things I've ever had to do.
Dude, what made it worse was it was Jeter, A-Rod, Pedro, and Poppy. Like, bro, that's not fun for him.
But you know what? I know they had to do this, but it would have been cool having Frank Thomas on set.
No, you know what they need to do? They need to do one night where it's Jeter, A-Rod, Ripken, Nomar.
That's the guy that'll never make the Hall of Fame, and that's unfortunate, is Nomar.
Well, he was always hurt.
Yeah,
that brings me back all the way to the thing. It's like that's what affected him is what's affected other guys, and that brings me about Trout, though.
Yeah, but also look at it like this, too, John. There were some bigger names playing the position. Yeah, I remember Nomar. Like, I remember Nomar in his prime, right?
Or it's what Boston fans would say, Nomar!
Let's face it, he's not really complaining after who he married.
Who did he marry?
Mia Hamm.
Mia Hamm.
Nomar did?
Yes.
He's been married for years.
Yeah, he's been married for
I guess he's spiking it daily.
20 years?
Yeah, dude, I have kids, bro.
I have kids.
And he's definitely spiking it.
but here's the thing. That panel would be must-watch TV. Jeter, Nomar, and A-Rod on one panel.
I remember watching the MLB on Fox. It was during the playoffs. And they had Pete Rose on, right?
Yeah.
And just seeing A-Rod and Frank Thomas, and I think Poppy was there too. Just seeing A-Rod, Frank Thomas, and Poppy listen to the stories from Pete Rose and how he approached the plate and, you know, like what he did coming up to bat was just so cool because they were such an awe. You know what I mean? I mean, come on, think about it. Frank Thomas has hit how many home runs, John? Is he a part of like the 500 home runs?
Let me pull up his stats.
He's definitely 400. I don't know if he's five.
Let me pull up his stats. Hold on. Give me a second.
Oh, by the way, you know who would be the best person to run that panel?
Cool.
Philly's own John Kruk.
What panel?
Of Nomar, Jeter.
Oh, good old John Kruk.
Okay, here's Frank's final stats. He had 2468 in hits, 521 home runs, a .301 batting average, 1,704 RBIs, an on-base percentage of .419, slugging .555, OPS .974.
Yeah, and whoever tells me he doesn't deserve to be in the Hall of Fame.
Oh, fuck no. Well, now he's really doing Viagra commercials, but that's beside the point.
I mean, so was Ralphie, and then they busted him for steroids.
Nah, but, I mean, just seeing how Alex, Frank, and David, guys who are pretty well-known hitters, you know, around the history of the game,
all you were missing was Mo Vaughn in there, and then you just had power.
He was a stud. He's one of the best power hitters I ever saw. John, correct me if I'm wrong here, but you know who Mo Vaughn was of his time? He was Big Poppy.
Right. I pulled up Nomar's stats just for giggles. He finished his career with 1747 in hits, 229 home runs, batting average 313, 936 RBIs, OBP 361, slugging 521, OPS 882, and OPS 12.4. You know, I mean.
But he just, towards the end of his career, he was always hurt.
Yeah, he's in the David Wright camp, unfortunately.
Yeah.
And that's what's sad.
Now,
there's
nothing wrong about that, though. Like, Nomar is up there with, I mean, let's face it, when it came to the 90s, when it came to shortstops, it was him, Jeter, and A-Rod.
And Ripken, because Ripken was still
Ripken,
around.
Not in the 90s, though. He was third.
Ripken retired in 99, I think.
Yeah, but I mean, let's face it. He was originally a third baseman.
Or no, yeah,
he was originally short. Sorry, he was originally a shortstop.
He played a majority of his career at short.
And there's another
almost 75% to 80% of his career was spent at short.
Yeah.
So if you're going to talk about the greatest shortstops, you got to throw Ripken into that group.
What I'm saying is for the young players, because think about it. When it came to the faces of baseball, those three shortstops were the faces of baseball in the mid-90s, mid to late 90s.
All right, who would you say was the ultimate – I mean, since we're talking about shortstops, and now this is what I'm going to say. The ultimate shortstop in baseball, in my eyes, in my lifetime, the Wizard Ozzie Smith.
Yeah.
That is the ultimate shortstop right there. You want to learn how to play shortstop? You watch that motherfucker play. You watch highlights of him playing.
But guys that I've watched, it's A-Rod and Cal. A-Rod for power. Cal Ripken, I mean, shit, my life, just for me watching, it's fucking Ripken and, Jeter, Nomar, that's what I grew up on. That's how literally I became a fucking Mariners fan was A-Rod and Griffey.
You know what the funny thing is? Padres fans to this day still consider the trade of Ozzie Smith to the Cardinals is the biggest trade mistake they've ever made in their franchise history.
You know, speaking of the Padres, I really wish Tony Gwynn had won a ring. Like, I
can't
think of somebody else who deserved it more than him.
Oh, totally. There's certain players that never won that.
He deserved the ring. I was about to say Frank Thom, but Frank has one. Who's another one?
Nomar never won one.
Think about it. Nomar played in an era where the Yankees were just so damn dominant.
Nomar, Pedro.
Won one with the Red Sox.
Or was it with Toronto?
No, Pedro Martinez won it with Boston.
Yeah,
Boston.
I know.
Okay,
Guerrero.
That's right.
Vlad Guerrero. Vlad
Senior never won a ring.
No, he didn't. Who's another one?
Tom Brady.
Oh, fuck you.
I mean, hey, he was the final expo to ever retire.
Hey, you're not wrong.
No.
I mean, there's – I'm trying to think of who else.
Mike Piazza.
Yeah, Piazza never won a ring. Made it to the series, but never got a ring.
Pudge got one.
Pudge got one with the Yankees, I think.
No, Pudge also got one with the Mariners, with the Marlins.
Yeah, Pudge got one with the Marlins.
You're right.
They beat the Indians for that.
Mark McGwire never won one, right?
No.
He never won a championship. Sammy Sosa, obviously we know Bonds didn't. Bonds just has a crap ton of MVPs. Griffey, God, how did I forget him?
Yeah, well, Griffey
also
got hurt.
Griffey also played in an era where those damn Yankees.
Yeah, well, 102 wins.
Ichiro, I know we were just talking about him.
Edgar Martinez.
Oh, God, that Oh, God, that DH with the friggin' Mariners, man. Oh, my God. When they decided to put in that DH into the Hall of Fame, that man, if he didn't get voted in, there would have been a riot in Seattle if he didn't get in. That motherfucker was beloved in Seattle.
Yeah, I remember when he went in. He went in with Mariano.
Oh, wow. Really? Ty Cobb.
Really?
Yeah.
Ty Cobb, Ichiro, Tony Gwynn, Herman Killebrew.
What? Herman Killebrew
in the Hall of Fame yet?
No. To not win a ring.
To not win a championship, not to win the World Series.
Ernie Banks.
Ernie Banks, yeah. You know what? It's sad that he had so many close calls, but never got that the final push.
Ted Williams.
Yeah.
Roy Halladay, Jeff Bagwell, Trevor Hoffman, Beltre.
Adrian Beltre, yeah. I mean, there's so many. I mean, there's probably more we're not even bringing up.
I literally typed it in just to see if I could find any.
But, no, there's, I mean, there, we could start an argument about what players should be in the Hall of Fame. And
okay,
number
so
one on my
I
list
have...
every year is going to be fucking Pete Rose. I'm sorry. I still want Pete in there.
So I have a question. Since we're on the topic of baseball, I have a question for all of you. And I'm going to participate, too. Say if you had to make your all-time...
Christian, sorry. One other one. Donnie Baseball.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
And you know what the saddest thing is with that? He retired in 95, and they won the fucking whole thing in 96.
Yep.
You know,
That gets... You know what? Believe it or not, I've seen some interviews with him, and a lot of people bring that up to him. And he goes, It just wasn't meant for me.
Wow,
but he says it in such a classy, respectful way that he's not bitter about it.
Yeah. So, all right, here's the question.
Donnie's gonna go. Not to cut you off, but he's gonna go into the Hall of Fame. He could go in as a manager and as a player, in my eyes, Mattingly, because he's managed some good teams.
What about Dusty Baker? You guys see him getting in?
Yeah,
as a manager, yes. As a player, no.
Okay.
As a manager, definitely. As a player, no.
The question was, if you guys have to start up your all-time rotation of legendary pitchers, who would you have in it?
Oh, God, you should have given me some time to think about this. Oh, God damn. Why don't we pencil that in for next week? Because I need time to really think of that one. Unless you guys want to do it now. I mean, I can't think
of anybody.
Off the
top of my head, you know, Nolan Ryan would probably be my ace.
Oh, Nolan Ryan will be on everybody's fucking list.
So mine, Seaver, Nolan Ryan,
uh-huh.
Randy Johnson.
Uh-huh. Cy Young.
Yeah, see, I never saw Cy Young play, so that's the...
Well, still, he's the goddamn awards named after
yeah,
him.
Yeah, but I'm going off of players that I've seen. I saw the
Maddox,
of
Smoltz, Glavin. I mean, the list goes on.
You know,
Maddox,
you could say Zito. You could say Mulder. You could say
Maddox
the other one that
Maddox
hit?
And Clemens.
That's the
what's
other one that
the question?
Needs to be in the Hall of Fame.
Give us your starting five rotation of legendary pitchers.
Oh. Okay.
What would it be?
Nolan Ryan, of course. Roger Clemens.
Yep.
I mean, yeah, the drug thing, but he was awesome before that. So I'll go Roger Clemens.
Christian, I know what kind of answer I'm going to get. Now, take your personal feelings out of how you feel about this player. How would you project him as a pitcher? And that's Mr. Bloody Sock.
Right.
He was damn good. I mean,
that's like I said, take your personal. I know you hate him.
You know why I hate him, right?
Well, the line forms to the left on how many reasons you probably hate him. But as a player.
There's more to it. I have a buddy named Robert Butler, and he's pretty well connected to a couple of celebrities. Not going to even lie, right? And he is an absolute Yankee hater. Like, he was one of those pretty much leading the pack that Shohei should have won MVP, all because, you know, Judge is a Yankee, right?
Right.
So me and our other mutual friend, Jason, we teamed up and we ordered him a Yankee shirt.
Oh, yes.
And he got pissed off. So he's like, yep, my response will be done shortly. And lo and behold, he gets fucking Curt Schilling, who had my name in his mouth. And Jason's name in his mouth, too. I'm like, you motherfuck. Yeah, so, look, all feelings aside, nah, Curt Schilling was damn good. Like, he really was. I mean, he was, every fifth day you give him the ball. Like, if I had to come up with my rotation, I go probably Nolan Ryan. Another one that I didn't really care for, but can't deny the greatness, and he's a Hall of Famer, Pedro.
Yes.
I mean, Pedro Martinez was, wow. Probably want Glavine in there, because Glavine used to beat you with velocity and movement. He wasn't really a finesse pitcher.
He was, towards the end of his career, he was a little more finesse because he couldn't throw as hard, but.
Right. Probably throw Greg Maddux in there, because anybody I talk to who's older that loves the game of baseball, they always say that he's probably the best pitcher that they've ever seen. And then another one, this one may sound interesting, but he was damn good. Roy Halladay.
Yeah.
Like, oh, Roy God Halladay bless him, yeah.
So I have a five of the people that I grew up watching. So, unfortunately, I caught the tail end of Seaver, I caught the tail end of Nolan, so I can't really put them in. But Randy is one.
Obviously.
Or no particular. Randy Johnson one. Pedro two. Maddux three. Tim Lincecum four.
Lincecum, I have some reservations about, because
talking about World Series Lincecum. I'm not talking about tail end of his career. I'm talking about the fact that him and Bumgarner used to be a tandem. Yeah, when he was in his prime.
If you're going to throw that, you got to throw Barry Zito in there too.
Yeah, and Barry Zito. And five. See, this is where I'm tossed up, because there's three that I could say. I could say Oral Hershiser.
Oral Hershiser. Oh my God.
I can say Schilling. I can say Clemens, but the guy that I always loved watching, he was a Marlin, he was a Met, he was a Yankee, El Duque.
You know, Domingo Germán kind of reminds me of him a little
yes,
bit.
Yes, he does.
Because sometimes when I watch Domingo pitch, I'm just like, oh, wow.
Oh, God, that's another one. Cliff Lee.
Yeah, Cliff Lee.
Oh, Cliff Lee. How many good years did he have?
Would you consider
Philly?
Him legendary, but he's not there yet? It's CeCe.
No, CeCe's going to – CeCe, I think, is going to make the Hall just because
– But I wouldn't classify him as a legendary pitcher.
I would.
Of his era. I'd say of his generation.
Of his era, yes. Time, that's a
all
stretch.
All time, I think it's stretching it, but of his era.
His era, yeah, but like.
Oh, definitely of his era, yeah.
Okay, here's a name for you. I got two. Andy Pettit and King Felix.
Andy Pettit is one of the best big game playoff pitchers I've ever
fully
seen.
Agree with that.
Because I remember in 2007, when we played Cleveland, this was the Nats game,
when, you know, all those bugs were flying around, remember?
Yep.
I remember we started Chin Ming Wong. God, that's the name I haven't said in God.
Oh, God, Chin Ming Wong.
Well, yeah, because I also remember, what's his name? Big Boy. What the fuck was his name in the bullpen?
Jabba.
Jabba. There you go. I just remember that fucking game.
So I remember Chin Ming Wong won 19 games in back-to-back seasons, right? And a lot of people were saying, yeah, he's probably solidified as the ace of the Yankee staff at that time, right?
Right.
Completely wets the bed in game one of the playoffs, and I'm like, all right, we got Andy going tomorrow. Andy should get us going in the right direction. And like usual, Yankees bats went cold, but the pitching was great. Threw 7 innings of shutout ball.
The biggest memory I have of Andy, it was opening day when it was snowing.
Yep.
And he pitched with it with blizzard-like conditions. This was a Texas-born and bred boy who'd never seen snow, and he pitched like a champ.
What's sad is he's not going to get it in the Hall of Fame because he got busted.
I mean, whenever Whenever I think of Andy, I just think of, man, lucky, a crafty lefty. And, you know, he is the reason why CeCe kind of was able to last as long as he did, because I know CeCe and Andy developed a really close relationship here.
Yeah.
And CeCe said that Andy showed him how to just work every part of the plate and couldn't throw any hard. Couldn't throw that hard. Like, the hardest CeCe threw before he retired, I remember CeCe at one time was probably hitting about 94 or 95 on a radar gun.
Right.
And I think, you know, he lost some miles. It happens. You know, he was probably throwing 89 or 90 at one point. And he said Andy really taught him how to be a little bit more mechanical. Because I remember CeCe in 2017 at one time, after like 9 or 10 starts, he was 7-2. And he just looked like a different guy. But you could tell. He was way past his prime.
You know what? And you know what's funny? He's talking about the Yankees and stuff. There's a Yankee that pitched in the 70s that was on the path to becoming so dominant, but injuries shut his career down. And I'm talking about number 49, Louisiana Lightning Ron motherfucking Guidry.
Is he in the Hall yet?
No, he's not, and that's a travesty.
Wow.
His number is retired by the Yankees, but it's a travesty. That man, in the 77-78, when the Yankees won it back-to-back, he was front and center for all of those big games. And he won. He was like 24-4 one season or something. Some ridiculous number like that. Dwight Gooden had an amazing early career. Well, everything else shut him down. You know, it's unfortunate. Some of these pitchers have such great beginnings and then they end up fizzling out because they either A, throw a ton of gas and they blow their arms out, or B, off the field stuff curtails them. That's what happened with Gooden. You know, I mean, if Gooden had stayed on the straight and narrow, do you think that man would have had over 300 wins?
Probably.
Ronnie, do you agree or disagree?
Oh, yeah.
And, I mean, here's the other question. He could have very well, I don't know if he could have bypassed Nolan, but he would have put it damn close.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I remember Gooden's rookie season in 84. He had over 300, I think he had 260-something strikeouts in his rookie season when the man was 19 years old. He was 24-2. I mean, what rookie has a season like that?
And didn't Ron Guidry go like 25-3 in a season?
Something like that, yeah. I mean, Guidry's one of those players that I remember when I would follow the Yankees in the 70s. I followed both the Mets and the Yankees in the 70s. It's like every time Guidry was on the bump, you knew you were getting at least 10 or 12 strikeouts possible, and you more likely would be seeing a complete game. And he was also the originator of the two-strike cheering of the fans. because that really originated with him, if you look back at history.
Right.
That whole two strikes, everybody stand up, that started with Guidry.
Interesting.
All right, Chris, what's your five?
Oh, my five? Nolan Ryan, Roger Clemens. This is going to be old, but if you take his full body of work, I mean, it's going to be decades, Satchel Paige.
I knew you were going there.
Because, if he was in the major leagues, when he was younger, nobody would be able to touch him.
Nope.
A guy who was one of the best, but unfortunately drugs fucked him, Doc Gooden.
Yeah.
I mean, Gooden before cocaine was amazing.
Totally.
Like, he never really had a bad season with injury. It was always drug-related.
Yep. That's why he missed the 86 championship.
Strawberry. Like, they were amazing. It's just drugs.
If anybody knows, when the Mets won it in 86, he wasn't at the parade because he was hungover.
Yeah. Then I had to make a choice for one of the Braves pitchers, either Maddox or Glavin. I'm going with Maddox.
Okay.
Like Maddox, that leaves me one, number five, right?
Yeah.
My fifth one, he was one of the best pitchers in the 80s, hands down, Oral Hershiser.
I'm surprised you didn't go Doc.
Well,
Doc. There's another guy that none of us have mentioned. Does the name Steve Carlton ring a bell to anybody?
Yeah, but Don Holliday.
I thought maybe I'd put a Philly on there, but if I'm going best of all time, Oral Hershiser was like, he was one of those guys where you thought nothing of him, and then, you know, he's out here getting, like, no hitters.
Oh, I'll give you another one that's sneakily underrated that was probably one of the better ones. Moose.
Mike Mussina, yes.
Yeah, I remember the 2008 campaign, final year in the league, and he won 20 games. Like, Chin Ming Wong, he was never the same after 2008 because he was running the bases, which is why I'm so happy the DH is a universal thing in baseball now, because he was running the bases and he injured his foot, and after that he was never the same. And man, Mike Mussina really carried that roster. You know what, I'm gonna look up what that rotation was that year, because it wasn't the greatest compared to what they ended up getting the next year. Hold on, let me see.
There's two more Yankees that might be Yankees Hall of Famers, but they'll never be big-time Hall of Famers. It's Jimmy Key and David Wells.
I was going to say, do that, and then we'll get into our football.
My fifth, I was going full body of work. That's why I went Oral Hershiser. I mean, I thought Cole Hamels, like, faded away. Cliff Lee faded away. Like, a lot of guys that you're like, oh, shit, you got to, like, they were really good. It's like their later years, they just didn't have it.
So
Hershiser, he retired. Like, he still had it.
All right, John, I have that rotation up.
Yeah, I got, you're right, Chris.
Go ahead.
You ready?
Go for it.
Andy Pettit, Mike Mussina, Daryl Rasner, Chin Ming Wong, and Sidney Ponson.
I remember him when he was with the Orioles.
I was going to say, I'm not even talking about Moose with the Yankees. I'm talking about Moose with – how about just Moose with Baltimore?
Yeah, he was a stud.
And he's not in the Hall of Fame, but he rightfully should be. Now, here's the question. If Moose does make the Hall of Fame, does he go in an Oriole or is he going as a Yankee?
He's already in. He's already in.
Is he in?
Yeah, he went in with Mariano.
Yeah, is he a Yankee or an Oriole?
He went in as an Oriole, I think.
Which, listen, you're not going to get – that's fine. You're not going to have back-to-back Yankees go in. They're not going to do that.
But back-to-back Yankees did go in.
Yeah, but – yes, but you're not going to do the two end up next to Mo, you're an afterthought. At least as an Oriole, you're not an afterthought.
Yeah, that's true.
But all right, let's dive into what made us fucking popular in the first place. It's time for college football previews. Oh, and we are deciding to go into the deep ends of the pool in the Conference USA. I know Christian's got two things to say already.
Don't nobody care.
All right, Chris says it, but Christian's thinking it. So the change with this conference is they have lost UAB, Rice, Charlotte, and North Texas to other and UTSA to other conferences, but have gained New Mexico State, Sam Houston, Jacksonville State, and Liberty.
Liberty.
So, yeah, that's going to be a thing. We'll get into Liberty real quick. Starting off, let's go with the bottom of the barrel of the bullshit in this, and Sam Houston. Coming in first time into the league, coming out of the WAC last year at a 5-4 record, coming into the D1, their over under is 3.5. I'm just gonna say it right now. I will dive deep into this real quick, but hold on. I gotta find this because this thing is, it's saying 3.5. I'm even just saying it's
Hammer time.
She said, do you come from a land down under?
Hammer the under on this one. They're not even going to win a game. Their schedule right now is their normal conference stuff, but they have BYU, Air Force, Houston, and Crenshaw State as their non-conference games. Three games at the beginning of the year of BYU, Air Force, and Houston. Loss, and getting fucking destroyed.
My bad. I'll face down you by
the
way. No, I could talk to you. I could talk to you.
Chris, what is your opinions on this?
What?
Sam
Houston. The fucking Sam Houston.
The Bearcats. Over under 3.5. I have them winning a game.
Sam Houston's called the Bearcats? Oh,
yeah.
God.
It's with a K.
Alright, so it's 3.5, right? And you know what? It's Conference USA. They'll win 3. Oh, I'm going to go under.
Who are they going to beat?
Who knows? It's Conference USA. It's not like the Christian said, don't nobody care. I mean,
Hold on. I'm going to read you this. This was their wins last year. Their 5 wins they had last year. I'm going to read you the teams they beat. Texas A&M committee at Stephen F. Austin, Eastern Kentucky and Utah Tech and Telcon State. Their losses are like the Albertine Christians, and they beat nobody. And they are nobodies. Crenshaw State, if they're lucky. But they will not even touch BYU, Air Force, or Houston. Maybe they'll beat Jacksonville State, who comes in with them. But other than that, they're going to get fucking smoked. They're winning one game, maybe two. Hammer the under.
I say I'm going under. I just think they win three.
Okay.
Christian? Somehow. I don't know how, but they win three.
Christian?
Yeah. All right. This is Houston, you said?
Sam Houston.
Man, ain't nobody care. Come on, man.
Nah, well, the over-under is 3.5.
Ain't nobody care.
Enlighten me.
Oh, I am enlightening you. Ain't nobody care.
They do have to play Houston, though. They're going to get smoked.
Yeah. I'll take the under.
Yeah. John, you just gonna agree?
Christian, handle my light.
I'm not even asking you to know who the fuck Sam Houston is, because I barely know who the fuck Sam Houston is. I only know them from basketball.
The only Sam Houston I know was the guy who wrestled.
yeah, no. Who the fuck is Sam Houston? Yeah, same thing.
Yeah.
The guy who wrestled.
Yeah. A wrestler who was good, and then he fucked his shit up with drugs.
So, all right. Next, another team that's coming in from the FCS, coming out of the A-Sun. A-Sun, get the fuck out of my business. Jacksonville State, the Gamecocks. Their over-under is 5.5. Teams they have this year for non-conference, Eastern Tennessee State, Coastal Carolina, Eastern Michigan, and South Carolina.
Jacksonville State, Deion's old thing, right?
No, that's, oh, God, that's not Jacksonville State. That's, fuck, Christian, help me out here. What team did Deion leave?
No.
State.
What?
Jackson
Deion
State.
Was a coach at Jacksonville State, wasn't
no,
he?
No, Jackson State.
Oh.
He was a coach at
Jacksonville
State.
State.
Yeah, yep.
Who gives a fuck under?
They're getting love from Vegas. They're getting 5.5. I have them winning 3.5 games. My projection is 3.5. So that is under, and I will be making a bet on that big time.
I'm sure you will.
Christian?
Hey, nobody can.
Yeah, I know, right? No, it's an under. It's a hard under for everybody.
Okay.
Under.
Because even the book that I'm reading it from has them winning 4 games. Sam Houston, they have winning 3, which, yeah, I don't even know how the fuck that's possible. All right. FIU. Now we're actually getting to teams that are part of this conference. FIU Panthers, Florida International, coming in having non-conference games against Maine, North Texas, Connecticut, and Arkansas. Their over-under is 3.5. I have them go with...
FIU usually has been a perennial pillow fight contender, but they started getting good.
So last year they went 4-8. I think they do better with their non-conference games. They have at least 3 wins, so they can beat up on Sam Houston and Jacksonville State. I have them winning 5 games over.
If you want to go way too crazy, you could say they go bowling. That means they win 6. I think they win 5, but yeah.
Christian?
Uh-huh.
FIU, the team that got more famous for a brawl that happened with Miami.
You already know my saying.
Dude, I'm I am really dating myself. That's a 25-year-old thing. Do you remember that?
I do.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Oh, boy. I'm really dating myself. Shit. What do you think? You going over or you going under?
I'll say under.
You think FIU is going to win three games? I could see that. I mean, just their non-conference games they have alone can get them three.
Yeah.
All right. Next, UTEP. John, you don't even know who the hell FIU is.
I don't even have a joke to go with that.
Yeah. All right. UTEP, coming in, their non-conference games are against Incarnate Word, Northwestern, Arizona, and UNLV. Their over-under is 5.5. Last year they were 5-7. The question is now is do they make the next step and go bowling? Chris, you want to take this first?
Yeah, UTEP goes bowling because Incarnate Word.
Yeah, Incarnate Word. The Incarnate World Cardinals.
Yeah, all right, they'll beat Incarnate Word. They'll beat the brakes off UNLV. That's two right there. They'll probably win bowling conference USA. Yeah, they're going bowling.
Yeah, I'm actually in agreement with you.
UTEP to the bowling.
I actually agree with you on that. The fucking Miners go bowling. I have them winning six games. Squeak the over.
Yeah.
Christian? You know what I'm going to ask, so give me your answer. UTEP.
He's got his answer. His answer's
Yeah,
amen. You're starting to sound like Randy Savage.
Yeah.
Hold up. Wait a minute.
Whose idea was that for that voice?
It was an interview.
But Ronnie, that has you written all over it.
I mean,
that's my purse. I don't know you.
And it just kicks him in the nuts.
Is that from Family Guy or South Park?
King of the Hill. King of the Hill.
Nah, dude. When Hank found out how Bobby was winning fights, his reaction was priceless. Dang it, Bobby!
Bobby,
dang it, Bobby!
Oh, dang it, Bobby! That boy ain't right.
Got that propane and propane accessories. No, really, UTEP, what do you take? You taking over or are you going under?
I'll take the under.
Yeah, I can see. I can honestly see that, but I think they're going to go bowling. UTEP hasn't fucking... UTEP has been known for basketball, not for fucking football, but it's UTEP. Here's a team that actually people know from Conference USA, the Louisiana Tech Bulldogs. Louisiana Tech non-conference. SMU, Northwestern State, North Texas, and Nebraska.
Well, La Tech will lose to SMU and Nebraska, but they should go bowling.
So their over-under is, where are you, six?
Yeah, they'll go bowling.
Do you have them pushing? This is where I actually have the under. I only have them winning four games. Four games, I don't think they're going to – I think they're going to have a down year. Christian?
Don't nobody care.
Yeah. All right. Hey, I told you last year with Conference USA that UTSA was going to be something. I was right. They got the fuck out of Conference USA, though.
Yeah, that doesn't mean you know shit. You know, you just knew what was hot at that moment. Even a blind man squeezes and pinches a titty here and there.
Oh. Listen.
Okay, what you want? What you want, the Medal of Freedom?
I mean, they're just giving that shit away sometimes.
Answer the question. What you want? The fucking Medal of Freedom?
Yeah, that or a cookie. I mean, either way, one's more excited than the other.
Man, fuck your cookie.
Louisiana Tech, are you taking it? It's six.
I'll say even.
Okay. All right. Oh, God. New Mexico State Aggies. The team that is ranked, oh, Jesus, they're ranked 104th in the fuck. I literally have the ranking of the nations in this book that I'm looking at. It's fucking crazy. They're 104th. I got to see who's dead last is in this. Their over-under coming out of this is, where are you? 5.5. Their games, they have Massachusetts, Western Illinois, New Mexico, and Pigfuckers Anonymous, Hawaii. As well as, oh, God, Auburn. They came from being independent last year. So they actually got into a conference. Their over-unders, what did I say, 5.5? I have them winning 7 games.
Yeah, I can see that.
Who's this?
New Mexico State, the Aggies.
Yeah.
I mean, dude, they're playing UMass, Western Illinois, New Mexico, Hawaii, and then they're going to lose to Auburn. I mean, that's 4 games right there, plus then you add in, like, Jacksonville State and Sam Houston, and all they got to do is win one random game. I got them winning 7. So
New Mexico State.
Yep.
I'll go 6. They're bowling.
Okay. And, yeah, they so, yeah, you have the going over. All right, cool. All right, next. Oh, Christian, you're gonna agree with the over?
Yeah.
Okay. Middle Tennessee, the Blue Raiders. They're fucked this year. 6.5. Their non-conference games. Alabama. Missouri, Murray State, and Colorado State. Can we just say they're going to get steamrolled by fucking... Hold on. For Bama...
Stop! He's already dead.
That
yeah,
is...
they're not under. Under, under, under.
They're projected over under.
I mean...
Six and a half.
Wait! They're playing Alabama and Missouri.
Yeah.
That's 2 losses right there.
Exactly. And they might lose to Colorado State, too. I have them winning 6. They go bowling, but just barely.
Yeah, barely, if that under. God damn under.
Christian?
Ain't nobody care.
Oh, by the way, the spread's already out for Alabama. We'll get into this when we get into the picks for week 1. It's 34.5.
Oh, God.
Again, I stand by what I just said.
Stop! He's already dead.
Dummy! Dummy! Yeah! Yeah!
Oh, God damn it. All right, Liberty. Liberty Bibbity. They come in from at a conference, and they're over under this year is 8.5, and their non-conference games are Bowling Green, Buffalo, Old Dominion, and UMass. That's 4 wins. Sam Houston, Jacksonville, that's 6. They're already bowling. They're going to win 9. I got them going over and making the finals and making the conference game, title
Ooh.
Game.
Ooh, Liberty?
Yep.
Yeah, I agree.
I have them in 9 wins. I think they actually topped the conference.
Mm-hmm.
Liberty?
Liberty.
Liberty, Liberty, yeah, Diesel.
Yeah, over, hard, over. And hello, Ryan.
Over.
What's up, fellas?
Nothing, just doing the last of Conference USA. I'll get your picks when we're done with this. You can do the last pick, too. We go into the Western Kentucky, the Hilltoppers. Projected wins over-under is 8. There are non-conference games. South Florida, Houston Christian, Ohio State, Troy. And, yeah, that's it for the non-conference. Well, that's already a loss with fucking Ohio State.
Right.
I have them winning 7 games. They go under and missing the conference playoffs. Or the title game for Conference USA. So my conference game is Liberty, New Mexico State. Christian?
I actually think they win this conference because they have that high-power offense. Austin Reed's coming back.
Yep.
Malachi Corley is coming back. And, yeah, they have some holes to fill on defense, but that offense is going to keep them in a lot of games.
Bring 6 players back on offense, 4 players back on defense.
Exactly.
Look at you knowing some of the shit on the Conference USA.
Look at you knowing shit, period.
Hey,
you
when you sit in front of a TV and watch 10 games at once, you kind of watch weird shit.
You kind of walked into that one. You know that, right?
Dummy! Dummy! Yeah! Yeah!
Exactly.
Hold on.
Hi, welcome to Chili's.
Chris?
Boy.
Western Kentucky.
All right, what's your over-under?
8.
Have a push.
Okay, so you have Liberty, Western Kentucky. Who do you have winning it all? Who do you have?
I have Liberty winning over Western Kentucky.
Okay, yeah, I have Liberty winning it too. Christian?
I got Western Kentucky winning it over Liberty.
Okay. Ryan, over-under 8. For Western Kentucky.
Western Kentucky, I guess.
No, I'm saying over under 8 wins. What do you think for Western Kentucky?
Oh. Over.
Okay. So I'll run through real quick for you. Florida International, FIU, over under 3.5.
Over.
Okay. Jacksonville State, over under 5.5.
Under.
Okay. Liberty, 8.5. Middle Tennessee, 6.5.
Go under.
Okay. New Mexico State, 5.5.
Over.
Louisiana Tech, 6.
If they can't go over, they got a problem.
Okay. UTEP, 5.5.
Over.
Sam Houston, 3.5.
Jesus Christ. I'm going to go under.
Me and you agree on everything except Louisiana Tech.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I have Louisiana Tech under. But, Chris, I know you're ready to bail out.
Yeah, I'm going to bounce. My head's just killing me now.
All right, man.
Oh, boy, have a good night.
But later.
See ya.
Night, everybody.
Good night,
Christopher. Oh, Ryan, we had Christian. We killed Christian earlier.
What'd you guys do to Christian?
The whole Spice Channel stuff from last week.
So
I enjoyed the throwback.
So Ryan. And
yes.
Christian heard some of these. I haven't played them all yet. I added new sound bites for football season.
Okay, what do we got?
So, for the murder. You know how we used to have the, oh my God, it's going to be a murder. Like the game's just not a game.
He's already dead.
Or.
That's my purse. I don't know you.
If the line is perfect, like the line does not have any adjusting, so every one of these is going to have a hammer in beginning, so just bear with it. They're quick, literally 10-second clips. So.
I gotcha.
Hammer time.
Hold up. Wait a minute. Something ain't right.
That's right on the line. Like, something's not right. They're perfect. This one, you can figure out what it is.
Man, I said I don't have no Girl Scout cookies.
Over the line.
And then finally, if the under hits, I hate the fact that I got to keep playing this, but whatever.
Hammer time.
She said, do you come from a land down under?
Oh, my God.
Well, I was bored today.
That's good shit.
Yeah, I was going to say, I was bored today.
I can see. I can see that.
Oh, when he's bored, he'll call you at 9:30 in the fucking morning.
Hi, welcome to Chili's.
Well, I mean, he'll call at 9 o'clock in the morning his time. It's 8 a.m. my time.
He called me at 7 o'clock, 7:30 in the morning.
Yeah, he knows better.
I've called Chris at 6.
Well, say, man, I'm pretty sure I got a call from you the other day, and I was just like, it's fucking too early for this. I told you, you can call back.
Oh, and then also, too, if something ever really just is, like, not right when we come back, just...
And God! Holy shit!
What?
Good shit.
Yeah.
I dig it. Good shit.
Yeah. And then, like, obviously we have the upsets and shit like that. So we have a lot of things getting ready for football season. Oh, next week, it's either do we do the Fun Belt or do we go back to Return of the Mac? I mean, the question is do we really want to talk about Miami of Ohio?
No.
I mean, we're going to have to sooner or later.
I mean, later's better.
All right.
I'm okay with
it. You're okay with later? Then we'll – thank you very much, Miss Lippy. Then we'll dive into the Fun Belt next week.
All right.
Breaking news while we were on air. We had this story last week of John Kitna's son out of Florida being arrested for 5 counts of child pornography.
Oh, wow.
Update to that story. 5 counts have been dropped due to a plea deal, which means he's probably going to get no jail time, but he's probably going to have to register as a sex offender.
Hey, guys, I'm going to cut this one short a little tonight, so I'll be back on next week for sure. All right.
Wood chipper goes burr.
Hey, you watch your whore mouth.
Hey, yeah, how's your ace do the other week?
Hey, at least my team is in contention.
Hi, welcome to Chili's.
Hey, that hurts me, Christian.
Sorry, John, excluding you. That just goes toward him. Look, he opens this can of worms, so every time I shut him down, he gets defensive.
I'm a Met fan. Of course I get defensive. I mean, shit, it's like Shohei Ohtani's not going to get traded.
Yeah. But all right, guys, I'll see you next week.
All right, see ya.
All right, later.
Later, buddy.
But with that being said, let's bring this home. Unless you guys have something else you want to add.
Do you want to go over Money in the Bank real quick or no?
I mean, is there anything you want to talk about with Money in the Bank?
Well, how about we just say this? Do you agree with the winners of the bank of
yes.
the briefcases?
Yes.
They did all right.
I would have liked to have seen LA Knight win it.
My thing is with LA Knight, what do you do with that then? You can't have him. Okay, you cash him in on Roman.
He could do. He could go after the U.S. title.
That was the first time anybody has ever referenced they can cash in on any title.
I mean, not since they started it.
They have never, since they started it, they have never acknowledged that you can cash in for an Intercontinental or United States title.
Yeah, they did. When it first started, you could challenge for any championship.
Yeah.
It was a title shot for any title.
Yes, they did say that.
But it would make sense for every worker to go after the big money prize.
The one thing I never understood, I'm sorry, a quick detour. Why does McNeil look like he has a fucking Serrano bat on him?
The bat doesn't have a knob on the end of it.
It looks like a fucking piece of lumber. That's all it is. It looks like a fucking piece of
lumber. They've talked about that on broadcast before.
Like a fucking, it's like Serrano's bat from Major Leagues back to the minors.
Yeah, it's just one just long stick.
Yeah. And the minute I say that, McNeil grounds into a fucking ground out. And
he goes, the new shillelagh.
It is a fucking shillelagh.
Pretty much, it is.
Florida's going to, oh, Jesus Christ, how much is the taxpayers' money going to that? Florida remodeling their entire football stadium. It's going to cost them $400 million.
Ouch.
And it's Florida, which means it's a state college. Which means fuck the taxpayers of Florida. Give me money. As in the words of Paul Heyman, you want to rip me an asshole yay wide? Make me money.
You're not wrong.
We can talk about that real quick. What is your thoughts on the fact that the rumor is Heyman's going to be a headliner for Philly?
Makes sense. Absolutely. No, it's a no-brainer.
Is this where Jazz goes in with him, too?
Jazz don't...
Greatest mind in the wrestling business.
Heyman in Philly, if this, honest to God, should be the time you ECW the living shit out of the Hall of Fame.
Then what you got? You got guys like Sabu, the Sandman.
No, I wouldn't even say that. No, it's Heyman, Dreamer. Rob's already in, right?
Yeah, Rob's in already.
Rob's in.
Sabu.
The Dudleys are in already.
Sabu, there you go.
No, Sabu's.
You know Raven ain't going in.
Sabu's.
You know Taz ain't going in.
Taz they can put in.
Yeah,
they could put in Raven, even though he took him to fucking court and won.
Yeah, but I don't think Raven would accept it, though.
I mean, you could put Steve Corino in, even though he never stepped foot in a WWE ring. He's a backstage hand.
He's NXT, right?
Yeah. Just incredible. He was a WWE guy, PJ Polacco.
I still think of the guy with the jock strap on his head.
I mean, also too, I mean, he was the guy that was, he became famous in ECW.
Yeah, but that's just not the coolest.
Oh yeah, it's just incredible. Lance Storm.
Lance would be good.
He'll never go in because he's got too much shit. You could have put in fucking Jericho at that time.
Jericho's still going to go in, but I don't think he's going to go in for another couple of years.
Yeah, Jericho could have went in because that was where he started his career in ECW. And
well, no, he actually got a start in Smoky Mountain, but he really made his name in ECW.
Silly.
He made his name in Canada before Smoky Mountain.
If we really want to get technical, in Japan.
And Japan, yeah.
And Mexico. I think he was in Mexico, too.
I think he should go in, but will never... is obviously Benoit, or redacted.
Or Bob Holly.
I don't think they're going to do a full ECW class.
Well, you got to remember, ECW, the full ECW class could also be guys that have that made their more famous from WWE. Perry Saturn.
Well, then I could say football's in there too, but it's
but you're never
going to.
But here's the thing: you're never going to get as much as it's going to be guys that have grit their teeth in that made their name more in ECW. So Dreamer was everywhere, but Dreamer was one of the original for ECW. So was Taz, but guys like Rey Mysterio was in ECW for a cup of coffee, and then he made his name in WCW.
Right. It pains me to have to say this. Balls Mahoney won't go into the WWE Hall of Fame for another 4 or 5 years.
But does he deserve to be there, though? Honestly, I mean, look, I love the guy to death, but do you really think he'd make it in?
I loved his work. I modeled my first gimmick after him. But I mean, if we're being honest, no disrespect to the memory of Balls Mahoney, no, he does not belong in the WWE Hall of Fame.
But you know where I see him do going in when they put in those like posthumous guys, like they put like 10 or 12 guys in at once.
Yeah, yeah,
that's where he would go.
So here we go. I would love to see this guy go in from ECW, but you're not, I don't know if you're ever going to see this, is Chris Candido.
Mike Awesome.
Another one.
Yeah, it's another one that's a little on the iffy side.
He was ECW, and he just passed away. Could you see Draws go in?
Yeah.
I'm sure they'll
They're
going to put him in posthumously.
Go ahead, sorry.
They took care of Draws after his accident.
Yes.
And you know what's really crazy is the day before Draws died, I came across a video of D'Lo Brown talking about the accident.
Yep. I saw it too.
I'm glad to know there was no blame between them. You know, it's the wrestling business. Accidents happen, and sometimes...
Oh, no. He had none. He even said that, like... days after it happened, like he's done interviews where he said he was still friends with D'Lo. D'Lo felt like shit, and he goes, "Nope, don't fucking feel bad for yourself. It happened."
Yeah, and I mean, to this day, D'Lo still feels guilty about that, but he knows it was an accident. But he says, I've seen interviews with him. He's like, as long as he lives, he's never going to forget that night. Because not only was Draws affected, he was affected that night.
Well, yeah, it caused him to retire for a short period. He stopped wrestling entirely. That's a big fear, and it should be a big fear of every wrestler, no matter what stage you're in, because I've got a friend out here. She was a female worker. She was put out of the business after she was dropped on her head during training from a dude who should have been able to pick her up and powerbomb her effortlessly. And that's what it was. She says she remembers being, you know, swung up and then people freaking out when she woke up on the mat because I don't know if he didn't have enough strength. He should have, or if it was a momentum thing, but he basically Brock Holly and Brock Lesnar.
Ugh.
Got her halfway up and then dropped her on her head. And that's fucking terrible. That's something that every wrestler should be worried about and should be worried about doing. And that's why WWE is so heavy on spine compression moves.
Yeah.
You don't see a lot of them these days. I mean, when was the last time that you saw a stump puller pile driver? Any pile driver besides the tombstone?
No.
AJ's isn't really a pile driver. It's more like a face buster.
No, but he could – He's had guys that don't know how to take it completely mess up, and AJ spiked them.
Yoshitatsu broke his neck.
Yep.
Because whenever he went for the bump, instinctually, like every wrestler,
his neck.
He ducked his chin. Without thinking, this is a face bump, I need to turn my head and protect my nose and jaw.
Yeah.
Right.
Went into wrestling, time to bump, duck that chin.
All right, so I have the ECW roster up, the original ECW roster.
Run through the names and say we'll go with a yes or a no.
Yeah, well, yeah. Okay, so I'll start from the beginning. And if he's in, he's in. So it's already there. Al Snow.
Yes.
Yes.
He should go in, yep. Axel and Balls.
No.
Yeah, no, but it hurts, but no.
I think he's in already. Bam Bam is in.
No, he's not.
No, then, yeah, Bam Bam needs to go
in. Oh, Bam Bam definitely deserves to go in.
There's a guy, Jersey Philly, that's perfect. Big Stevie Cool, Stevie Richards.
Yeah.
Yes.
Fuck yeah.
This guy can go fuck himself, but he was a WWF ref for a while. Bill Alfonso.
No.
Pillman is in. Bubba's in. Mick's in. Redacted's not going in. Or Bob Holly's not going in. Chris Benoit. Chris Candido.
Yes.
Yeah. Chris Jericho. Will go in, not anytime soon. Chris Canyon.
Just goes, but won't happen.
Yeah, I would like to see it happen, but it will probably won't.
He really had a cup of coffee in ECW. Christian York.
No.
Cyrus, a.k.a. Don.
Yes.
A.k.a. The Jackal.
Yes.
I say no.
Cyrus is going in. Nate, not anytime soon, but he's going in.
He'll go in. It won't be anytime soon.
Yeah. Dean Malenko.
Absolutely.
Definitely. Absolutely.
He should go in this class. Like, if we're doing an ECW class, he should go in.
Strictly Eddie Guerrero.
Yep. Dick Togo.
No.
Doink is in?
Matt Bourne is not in.
He won't go in, though.
I don't think he will either.
Yep. Don Morocco is
already in.
Dory Funk
is in.
And Draws, we already talked about that. American Dream, Death the Road, if you will.
But, duh.
Eddie's in. Never heard of this guy in my life. Who the fuck is Earn O'Grady?
Earn O'Grady, that's fucking, it's Crash Holly.
Oh, God, he doesn't look like Crash in this
Mike,
photo.
That's Mike Lockwood.
All right, Crash.
Yes.
Yes, for the 70,000 hardcore title reigns he had.
He had a heart attack, right?
Well, he died in Stevie Richards' house, but they don't know.
I'm just saying, he died of a heart attack?
I believe so. I don't know if it was a heart attack or an overdose.
But it was in Stevie Richards' house. That's all I remember.
Yeah. Gato. Not WWE Hall of Fame.
No.
He'll go into Hall of Fame, but not WWE. LOD's already in. Ivan Koloff's already in. Here's a name. Jerry fucking Lynn.
Yes.
Oh, fuck yes.
How he's not in yet.
Jerry Lynn and Al Snow are two of the most absolutely underrated wrestlers of our generation.
Yeah.
Damn right.
Snook is already in. Okay, this one's interesting. He was an ECW tail end original. Joey Matthews.
No.
Bullshit. He goes in for Eminem.
For sure.
maybe,
Joey
but...
Mercury. And also shit, the shit that he did with Seth Rollins, with Jamie Noble, J&J Security.
You ask my opinion, I say no.
I
say yes.
As an ECW original, no. But as Eminem, oh, yeah. He needs to go in as an announcer next to JR and King, Joey Styles.
Oh, definitely.
Public Enemy.
No.
Just Incredible.
I mean, hold on. Before we move on from Public Enemy, it would be a nice... They're both gone, aren't they?
Yep.
Yes, they are.
It would be a nice posthumous, we're sorry for letting Bradshaw and Farouk beat the fuck out of you on Sunday Night Heat.
Oh, God, I remember that match.
Here's the thing. I was going to bring that up, but if they stuck around and took it, they would have been fine. They took their ball and ran back to Paul.
Yeah.
No, they ran back to WCW.
But the thing is like, I even went back and recently rewatched that match. Okay, first off, calling it a match is kind.
It's a fight.
That wasn't even a fight, dude. That was an assault. They got in so little offense, and some of the bumps that they were forced to take by Bradshaw and Farouk were more than slightly dangerous. Like, that was some real... Oh, shit.
That's the point, Ronnie, where you would have played that stop, he's there already.
I mean, we're still live, so, I mean, yeah, well.
Dummy! Yeah!
Stop it, still already.
Stop! He's already dead!
that fits perfectly, because all I know is I've never seen Johnny Grunge... Johnny Grunge was the bigger of the two, if memory serves correctly.
Yes.
I have never seen a man that big manhandled that much by Bradshaw before than anything in my life.
I mean, there's also a fucking story after that from the Dudleys being like, all right, we know we're going in. We know we're about to get our ass kicked. I'm fucking swinging for the fences.
Yeah.
But they did what the Dudleys did. They did it right. As opposed to Public Enemy. Public Enemy thought they were coming in and thought their shit didn't stink. There's the difference.
Yeah.
Bubba and Devon came in with the utmost respect, and they showed it. And that's why they, regardless of my feelings about Bubba, they came in and showed respect, and that's why they didn't, that's why they stuck around as long as they did and became what they were. Public Enemy is like, yeah, we the biggest bet. Yeah, well, you open your mouth. Oh, there's another name we never mentioned from ECW. New Jack will never go in.
Hold on. I'm getting to Jack. Credible.
Yes.
I say no.
Yeah, PJ will go in. Hoovy.
Hoovy, yes.
I don't think he gets in.
I think he goes in under that big cluster of people that they put in at one time.
Here's a name that'll never get in, Kevin Sullivan.
Fuck,
I don't know about that one. I say yes on that one.
Fuck Kevin Sullivan. He's responsible for the Benoit murder-suicide. I said it.
And I didn't want to say it, but that's exactly the reason. King Cash.
No.
Here's another guy that probably won't go in, Conan. You know what? No, strike that. Redact that.
I was going to say, after last year's Hall of Fame.
I was just about to say that, too. Yeah.
No, I think Conan will go in.
Yeah,
he'll probably no show it, but he'll be inducted.
Let me be serious for a moment.
Lance Storm, definitely.
Absolutely with Lance.
Little Guido.
That's an iffy one.
Nunzio probably will get in. But he would go in. He's going in with the full FBI.
If Nunzio goes in, he's going in with the full FBI, and it's a posthumous thing.
Yeah.
Come on. Nunzio was not over in WWE.
No, but Guido was over as fuck. Over like.
He was a referee for 2 minutes.
I know, okay. Guido. I know Guido was over as fuck, but Nunzio never got over.
Mac Daddy Kane, he's gonna go in.
Who?
Fucking Umaga.
Oh, yeah.
Jannetty, he killed somebody. Allegedly.
And he also wanted to sleep with his stepdaughter.
Yeah. All right. Masahiro Tanaka.
Oh, definitely.
Yes.
Oh,
Mike
totally.
Awesome.
Yes. You can't have one without the other.
The
those
originator,
motherfuckers.
Yeah. No, you're absolutely right. Let's just redact all his WCW stuff.
But we can get rid of the fat chick thriller. That's fine. But the fact is, Masahiro Tanaka and Mike Awesome are so synonymous with each other. I would call them the Dusty Rhodes, Abdullah the Butcher, or Abdullah the Butcher and Bruiser Brody of the 90s, because those motherfuckers shed blood in the U.S. and Japan and kept that feud going for years.
Hell, the match they had at One Night Stand was fucking outstanding.
Yeah. All right. The originator of the stunner, Mikey Whipwreck.
Yes.
No, but he should.
Yes, I say Mikey goes
in. Go from jobber to
world champion.
Literally being untrained, knowing how to take a bump. To world champ, yeah.
And he also won, I think he won the Triple Crown with them,
he's
too.
He's the first ever person to win the Triple Crown in ECW. He won the tag titles with Mick. Won
world
the
title.
World title and the TV title.
He actually beat the Sandman, I think, for the world title, didn't he?
Yep. Jack, no. Nikolai Volkoff is already in. This one I'm interested to get Ryan's opinion on. Mike Bushi, Nova.
Yes, he'll get in not only for what he did in ECW, but for his time in WWE as Simon Dean. He took a shit gimmick and got it over.
Yeah,
I
agree with that. I agree with that.
Now, does he go in, if he's ECW, does he go in with a BWO?
Yes, absolutely.
Oh, the BWO definitely should go in.
All right, how about Schaub, One Man Gang?
He's already in it, isn't he? Isn't the gang already in?
Oh, I think so.
I thought the gang was in.
Heyman's probably in. Heyman's probably going in this year. Perry Saturn.
I don't know about that one.
Yeah, he deserved it, yes.
Saturn got a mop over.
True.
Psychosis.
Yes.
No, the Mexicals killed that.
So that means that's a no for Hoovy, then.
And a no for Super Crazy.
Crazy. All right, Raven.
He deserves
literally,
it, but I don't know if he'll accept
his
it.
Work, literally for his just for his work in ECW and WCW.
Yes.
All right, Rodney Mack, Rhino.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, Sabu.
Yes.
Too Cold.
Yes.
Yes.
I'm already going to say no and move on for Shane Douglas.
He deserves it, but he'll never go in.
Spike.
Yes.
Yeah.
King of old school, Steve Corino. The man that's still wrestling today, Johnny Swinger.
No.
No.
He's in TNA right now. Figure that shit out. Taka Michinoku.
Yes.
Yeah, I guess so.
He was one of the last WWE light heavyweight champions.
Also, I mean, forget the – also factor in the fact that he was in ECW for a time that no one really knew. Then he came over and did Kai and Tai for WWE and got over.
Choppy, choppy, your pee-pee.
And he's still wrestling.
Yeah, he's in Japan.
With just five guys. One of my favorite guys, Tajiri.
Yes.
Taz.
Definitely.
Yeah, at some point.
Oh God, Sinister Minister.
No, James Mitchell.
I think so. He's a pretty big name in ECW. I would say yes.
Dreamer needs to go in.
Oh, well, definitely.
That's all the guys. Women are a lot quicker. Beulah? No.
Nope.
Dawn Marie?
No.
No.
She had a good tenure in fucking WWE, though.
Yeah, but she has a lot of bad publicity from fucking stealing that money from Wrestler Rescue.
Franny.
Franny, definitely.
Jazz needs to go in. Why not Jazz?
I just don't think she had a big enough WWE career.
We're talking also about her ECW career, where she revolutionized the sport.
Correct.
It could go either way with that one.
She was one of the first women to actually have a plausible storyline with men, and it made
sense. So was Luna.
Which she's the next one.
Luna's already in. She's in.
Yeah. Fuck you, just because this bitch fucking sold hardcore porn at a Boys and Girls Club, Nicole fucking Bass.
Never gonna happen.
No way.
Fuck you, your steroid ass bitch. I'm sorry. I never like to speak ill of the dead, but fuck you.
How do you really feel?
Oh, she's got a dick. She's got a dick. I don't like men.
Damn.
She's a chick with a dick. I mean, shit. Everyone bitched about China in her porn video. Nicole literally had a semi.
I never saw Nicole do that, but I'll take your word for it.
The fact that people were literally, I was at a Boys and Girls Club for a PWS show where I had fucking seen Bill Apter singing I Am a Real American around the crowd.
Apter's a freak.
and this was when you had the first time in God knows how long Tony Atlas and Rocky Johnson in the same room.
And they didn't kill each other? That was amazing.
No, because Tony Atlas was wrestling. We had to hide everyone's feet.
I've seen that shit firsthand with him. He's a freak.
And then Nicole Bass was literally selling, this was in a Boys and Girls Club at YMCA, where she was selling her fucking hardcore porn videos on her merch table. Listen, she got famous off of Howard Stern. Should have stayed that way.
I remember she did the Miss Howard Stern New Year's Rotten Eve in 94.
And then the last ones are people that are pretty much in and one that won't. Sherry, Sonny, and Woman.
No, you're forgetting one other person that was in ECW. She's already in. Lita.
Miss Congeniality, but
Lita's already in.
She really didn't have a time, though. She was there for what? Literally like a month.
Yeah, she was with Danny and Roadkill.
Yeah, she wasn't even. She was there for literally a cup of coffee.
Literally a cup of coffee.
She was more known for her Mexico stuff before then. God, I forgot about that fucking Commissioner Spike Dudley. Oh, wow. They completely blanked over one guy. Taz's cousin.
Chris Chetty. No way. That will never happen.
No. He was never.
I have a better shot of getting in before Chris Chetty does.
He was never really. He wasn't even in the E ever.
Yes, he was. He was in there after they bought ECW. He was in Ohio Valley, or he was in Deep South, and then they released him. He was there for like a month.
So was Horace Hogan.
That's what I'm saying. He was there for like a minute.
Yeah, but
the only reason they did that is because I was a favorite of Taz.
Yeah, well, Taz's cousin. The only reason they did it. But, all right, let's bring this home.
Yeah.
But, ladies and gentlemen, with that being said, if you, like, you heard, please follow us on all social media networks under the Nerdport Network. Follow us individually on Twitter at F and Ronnie.
At the Zombie Master.
At Stuntcock STL.
Follow Christian. Sorry, go ahead.
Or at Reinar Official.
Follow Christian under the Daily Blitz. And follow Chris under Trips NXT. Join us back here. Join us on Twitch probably tomorrow. I'll probably be on. If not, we're going to be doing something. Join us back here next Wednesday as we dive into the Sun Belt. And we dive into the good, the bad, and the what the fuck in the wide world of sports and sports betting. But with that being said, if you like what you heard, tell your friends. And if you didn't like what you hear, Brian, you got anything funny to add?
Go fuck yourself right in the butthole.
Okay, if you didn't like what you heard, tell your enemies. But until then, not just keep laughing, assholes, but tell everybody that listens that you're always going to learn two things. One, he just got paid the other day. It's Bobby Bonilla was last week. Bobby Bonilla got paid. And also, every moment is a teachable moment. And if you don't believe me, well, then, hell, that's just the fact of life. Yeah.
Yeah.
Dummy. Dummy.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I've got to say, in all honesty, it's the biggest piece of dog shit that I have ever heard.
Good night.
Go fuck yourself.